On today's show, does Kyrie Irving have a handshake agreement with the Mavericks for a four-year deal? NBA sources are talking about the Mavericks. What are they saying? We'll talk about that and more on today's Locked On Mavs.
I'm Luka Doncic, and this is Locked On Mavericks. Locked On Mavericks, NBA champions. He is burning! Burning! It's good! And the Mavericks have won the
game! If you don't believe, you shouldn't be here.
Loyalty never fades away.
Welcome. You are locked on to the Dallas Mavericks. My name is Nick Engstead, media member and NBA channel manager for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for being part of the show and making Locked On Mavs your first listen every day. Join the Raccoon Squad, be an everydayer, and subscribe or follow for free. Just search Locked On Mavericks wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. But the best way you can help us grow the show is to listen every day and to comment anything below. Comment below. Should the Mavs re-sign Kyrie to a four-year max deal? I'm curious what you have to say on that. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. If you want to support the show, text us, get text alerts from us about Mavs rumors and more throughout the offseason. Subscribe to our subtext. Click the link in the description below or text the number in the description. We appreciate each and every one of you that's on that. I've got a bunch of Friday questions to answer that I'll get to probably tonight or tomorrow. So I'll get to those. Appreciate each and every one of you. Joining me, as always, my co-host, writer, and contributor at Mavs.com. The 3-0 oligarch, the One More Thing King. What you got for me, Isaac Harris?
I mean, I'm pretty dang excited for a Heat Nuggets
finals.
It'll
be fun. That should be fun.
I clearly, you know, been cheering for the Nuggets, you know, for these playoffs, and
clearly
such a fun team to watch. There's a lot of similarities of watching that, you know, Nuggets team to the 2011 Mavs team, and just some of the teams they're knocking off, how they're playing basketball. It's just a lot of fun. And then, like, I mean, I feel like Mavs fans, like, we have the Heat hate ingrained. It's in our DNA.
I know.
But it's so dang hard to hate Jimmy Butler. It's, like, impossible. I think as far as, like, approval ratings go in the league,
yeah,
I don't know how many stars or how many players are above Jimmy Butler right now with fans.
Well, you think he's got the whole entire population of Minnesota, the whole entire population of Philadelphia against him. So maybe
I feel
Chicago.
Like Philly fans at this point are like, why do they
can't blame him? Yeah.
Can't
blame him at this point.
He was right. He was right at all the
Tobias
spots
Harris?
He was in.
Tobias Harris over me?
He's talking about Ben Simmons not wanting to play. Like, he was in Towns up in Minnesota. He was right every place he was at.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. It's still wild to me how much he's elevated his game. And I mean,
yeah,
rolls eyes, Heat culture. I don't think we can make any jokes about it anymore with this run right here. But on today's show, we'll get into DeAndre Ayton. According to a source in the NBA, there's talks that the DeAndre Ayton could go to Dallas. There's other sources that are saying that interest from the Mavericks is overrated. So we'll talk about how we view these sources and what it means. Is the DeAndre Ayton deal that everyone's seeing on Twitter, is that real and all that stuff? The sources around the league are also talking about the 10th pick. Mark Stein had a report about that, so we'll talk about that. But we're going to start here. Kyrie Irving, we've said over and over again, and we're going to stick with it, the Mavericks' number one thing, Nico Harrison has said this, their number one thing should be they have to re-sign Kyrie Irving. Yeah. All the talk that we've talked about with, all right, bring in a center, make this trade, do this with the 10th pick, trade the 10th pick, all that, comes with the knowledge or with the understanding that the Mavericks will re-sign and bring back Kyrie. We think that they will. It doesn't sound like anybody else in the league is looking at a potential Kyrie deal, maybe with the Lakers losing and potentially getting swept in the Western Conference Finals. That changes things. We'll talk about that.
I wouldn't count Phoenix out either.
What Brian Windhorst said about that. But there's not very many options for Kyrie out there. He's not going to go get money from any of the teams that have cap space. None of those teams are looking to bring in Kyrie. But there's a couple of reports over the weekend. One from Eric Pincus from Bleacher Report. Eric Pincus is a guy that I know and I've spent time with it in the sports business classroom in Vegas. He's got sources around the league. He knows people. He was at the combine. He was at, you know, the lottery, and he was talking to some people. And when Eric Pincus reported this, it was someone from around the league told him what that source thinks about the Mavericks. It's not inside source from the Mavericks. So we do this every single offseason. Isaac and I love to talk about, there's only a couple sources you really trust with Mavericks inside, right? It's who is it? It's Mark Stein. It's, you know, Tim McMahon.
Tim Cato. You know,
Tim Cato. Woj and Shams, obviously, at this point, they just get from everybody.
And Dallas Morning News, Callie and Brian.
Dallas Morning News. Yeah, there's not very many that you outside of that that you should trust. But with this Pincus report, and it's from some source in the NBA, that this is what they think the Mavericks are going to do. According to a source told Eric Pincus, I hear that they have a handshake deal before the trade with the Brooklyn Nets, and Kyrie wouldn't have said yes to anything less than the max. Do you believe this? Do you believe this back deal before the trade handshake agreement that the Mavericks potentially have with Kyrie?
I do agree about the handshake deal. As far as how much it goes, I'm curious about that. But I do think that there was some type of wink-wink handshake. You know, we know the connections Kyrie has in Dallas. We know the friendship with Jason Kidd and Nico Harrison and just the connections and all of that. And I just go back to, I just don't think Nico is taking that chance. I don't think Nico is trading the first round pick and making the trade. I mean, he could, and you would actually understand of like, hey, dude, if you got a chance to add a talent, you just swing for it and figure it out later. You can kind of hear that. But I would understand that route if there were no connections, if there were no relationships connected and all of that. I just think, yeah, I think it was brought up pretty clearly because, you know what, you couldn't negotiate that legally before a trade happened. So let's just say once Kyrie got to Dallas, I think there was a pretty strong communication of like, hey, our intention is to sign you for a pretty long deal. And I've been going into this thinking it's at least going to be 3 years, and you know, they can obviously go up to 5 years if they want to, but yeah.
A player agent told Eric Pincus as well, I hear he's going back to Dallas on a 3+1 with a player option on the fourth year. His contract will line up identically with Luka's, which would total $210 million. So they'll line up exactly the same amount of years with a 3+1. So tying Luka and Kyrie together, which to me, that's what I've thought it would probably be. If they could get him on a 3-year without that fourth year, then obviously I think that you'd do it. There's been a lot of talk around the league that nobody else wants Kyrie on that amount of years. Like anytime you hear like Bobby Marks or Cap people bring up Kyrie's name, it's like, I don't know if teams are wanting to bring in a guy like that. And when you get into the Kyrie Irving business, you have to know what you're getting yourself into. And we've said since the beginning of this, we think Nico Harrison has the relationship with him, unlike some other front offices, have a relationship with Kyrie to know what they're getting into, to know how to deal with him, to know what he wants out of this situation. And so far, it's worked out, but we'll see what happens this offseason. Sounds like they have some kind of a deal there, and we'll see if the Mavs pull it off. This is different than the Brunson situation because of that.
Yeah, it's also important to clarify, like, max can be two different things. Whenever you hear max, you know, max contract, you know, if somebody told Pincus that, then that could mean, hey, I heard he's getting the max. Well, the full max that Dallas can offer is the 5-year deal. That's like a crazy ton of money. There's you could also mean, hey, I hear he's getting the max. And that's like, oh, well, what does it mean? Like max, but like 3 years? Well, max money annually. Like he could, you know, that, you know, max amount of money he can get per year at that point. So we'll see. I've been probably irrationally confident of him coming back. You know, we'll see what happens with the Lakers and Suns. And I mean, maybe we can talk about the Brian Windhorst comment the other day on the Hoop Collective, because I just don't agree with Wendy at all. I don't think Dallas is backed into a corner right now.
Yeah, coming up, would Dallas be backed into a corner if Kyrie wants to go to the Lakers and that's the only place he wants to go? We'll talk about that coming up. But before we do, let me tell you about Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy made easy. You can go check out Prize Picks right now. And every day throughout the NBA playoffs and the finals, you're going to get a long period of time probably between the Western Conference, Eastern Conference finals, and the finals. One Prize Picks user will get a chance at becoming a millionaire. One entry placed after 8 a.m. Eastern will be randomly selected each day. So you have to make 6 correct picks to win $1 million. 5 correct picks, you can get $80,000. 4 correct picks, you could potentially win $16,000. You must opt in at this link, prizepicks.com/million. Again, prizepicks.com/million. Once you opt in, all you have to do is play the game like normal and you could be the lucky winner. Again, prizepicks.com/million. You can also use the promo code LOCKEDON for 100% match up to $100. Again, prizepicks.com/million. Promo code locked on. All right, Isaac Harris, thanks everybody for hanging out with us on Locked On Mavs, being part of the show. We appreciate each and every one of you. On tomorrow's show, we're doing a draft profile. We haven't talked about which player yet. We've got a list of seven. We'll start our draft profiles tomorrow. We love doing these. We'll go through the entire body of work from a player and talk about strengths, weaknesses, how they would fit on the team. We, you know, pretend, okay, what if the Mavericks drafted them and what would they look like? So we'll do start draft profiles tomorrow on tomorrow's show. All right, we're talking about Kyrie Irving. According to a source that talked to Eric Pincus, people around the league hear that Kyrie had a handshake deal before the trade that, you know, that they'll re-sign Kyrie for some kind of max deal, a 3+1, a 3-year deal plus a player option at the end. There's also another source that said, you know, maybe to Dallas, Kyrie is worth that max money, but I'm not sure what the market is for Kyrie. No one with cap room is giving it to Kyrie. He comes with too much drama. So scaring away other teams, which...
None of the bad teams are going to. I still think we've been saying this whole time. I still think you're going to hear chatter. Like, I still think that before now in free agency, you're going to hear the Lakers. You're going to hear the Suns. You're going to have another Wendy report that comes out. And Wendy's like, man, the Lakers, they're really interested. And, you know, in all of that. So I still think that he's going to have some leverage in there. It's, you know, the danger zone is getting into the 5-year max.
Yes, fully guaranteed. And all
yeah, that's, you know, pretty, everything's a risk considering the past few years, but it's a risk, you know, a 3+1. This is probably a risk that you have to take if you're Dallas considering where you're at.
The other thing that was said over the weekend, like you mentioned earlier from Brian Windhorst of ESPN, he was on his Hoop Collective podcast. I think Bomani Jones jumped on there with him. He said, Brian Windhorst said this: if Kyrie says, hey, I'm going to the Lakers and I'll go to the Lakers for X in some kind of sign and trade, and you can trade me and get something back, I think the Mavericks' backs are put up against the wall. They would probably have to cooperate. We've seen this in the past where, you know, a player wants to leave a team. Kevin Durant wants to leave the Warriors. He's like, I'm going to the Nets. I don't care what you do. So they sign a trade and get D'Angelo Russell? Yeah. In that deal and say, okay, well, at least you get something back. In this same scenario, the Mavericks would probably be getting back D'Angelo Russell in some kind of deal because I don't think it's going to be Anthony Davis at this point. We speculated on that in the past. But would the Mavericks' backs be back against the wall if Kyrie said, hey, I'm signing with the Lakers or I'm going to the Lakers and you can sign and trade me if you want? But I don't think he has leverage because the Mavericks would have to do that deal for him to be able to go to the Lakers in any sense, because I don't think they can make the cap room for him.
Dallas would not have to cooperate with this. That's why when I saw that clip, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, Dallas doesn't have to cooperate at all. A lot of times when you see these teams cooperate in a sign and trade, it's because they don't have any other options. They don't have any cap space. Like, you look at Golden State, they didn't have cap space to replace KD. So they're like, might as well just take an asset in D'Angelo Russell, which turned out great for them because they swapped him for Andrew Wiggins and they won a title. But for Dallas, the backup plan all along has been if Kyrie goes elsewhere, it's not great. But still, if he goes elsewhere, you have like $28, $29 in cap space. So like you could create close to, you know, $30 in cap space. So I might be in the minority here. I don't think I am. I would rather go the cap space route than doing a signing trade for D'Angelo Russell. What? No. Even if he wants to go to the Lakers, give me the cap space and I wouldn't try to help out the Lakers. Okay. You want to get, I love Jared Vanderbilt, but you want to get Jared Vanderbilt back. Cool. Like, you want to get Mo Bamba back. I'm sorry. I would just rather do the cap space route. So I don't think Dallas does not have to cooperate. Their backs are not in the corner. It wouldn't be ideal, but they don't have to help out the Lakers and do a sign and trade. And they don't have good enough pieces that you'd say, all right, yeah, like, I'll take, you know, those pieces right there. Like, somebody said D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley. Not doing that. Sorry. Give me the cap space.
Yeah, the one player for the Lakers that can't play in the playoffs right now, and Malik Beasley, and the other one, D'Angelo Russell, that's causing them to lose some of these games. Not interested in that. And I agree with you. I don't think the Mavs are backed up against the wall at this point. You would think so, but that's when you have to just stand up. Like what the Nets did with Kevin Durant. He asked for a trade, and a lot of times people say, well, what if your star player asks for a trade? Well, if he's under contract, then you have the leverage and you don't have to trade him. They didn't trade him. And then they got a much better deal for it later from the Suns when they decided to, all right, this is the decision and the direction we're going to go in and like and rebuild when Kyrie decided that he wanted to trade. The Mavericks don't have to cave to what Kyrie wants because he's not getting to the Lakers with the money that he wants to make unless the Mavericks
They could create a little bit. They could get close, but he won't get the same amount of money per year. He'd have to sacrifice some.
I don't think they are because who leaves then? Like you have to everybody would have to leave.
I mean, yeah, Beasley has a non-guaranteed. So I mean, they're looking at like 106, I think.
So you got LeBron and AD making like 87 million.
Mo Bamba at 10.
Mo Bamba at
You'd have to let
Mo Bamba at 10 that's
let Rui
that's
walk.
Also like Mo Bamba at 10 is like also non-guaranteed to an extent, right? Jared Vanderbilt making like 4.6 and Max Christie making 1.7. So you're like,
you let Rui walk. And then, I mean, they could create a good
Rui
chunk
and
of
Reeves.
It.
Rui and Reeves leave.
Yeah. So they could create
not,
a good chunk
not
of
doing
it.
That.
But still, it's like, I'm not trying to help them out and they don't have good enough pieces. I'd rather go and shop elsewhere on the market. Sorry. Anyway.
Yeah, I just don't think they're doing that at this point.
I don't think we're going to get to this point anyway. I think Kyrie's back.
Yeah, and that's what we think. I'm still not 100% there. You're more confident in me because I put the Kyrie Irving wild card factor in there. But yeah, I don't agree with Brian Windhorst that the Mavericks' backs are up against the wall at this point because I think they have the leverage in that situation.
Yeah.
Other thing that got reported recently is that DeAndre Ayton, the Mavericks are interested in DeAndre Ayton. Combating sources from this. We have the one from Eric Pincus. We've talked about this earlier. He heard from a source that talks about what he expects the Mavericks to do, not a source inside the Mavericks. Source said that Dallas is a likely destination for DeAndre Ayton. Bill Duffy is the agent for DeAndre Ayton, also the agent for Luka Doncic. They said they have a good relationship. This source said the Suns
also
need
the
depth.
Agent for Grady Dick.
The Suns need depth. I could see them getting Tim Hardaway Jr., JaVale, Josh Green, and number 10. Phoenix would probably flip the pick to another team for depth, or maybe it'd be a multi-team deal. This is what this source says about this deal for the Mavericks. And then we also got the report from Mark Stein earlier in the weekend that, quote, the Mavericks' trade interest in Phoenix as DeAndre Ayton has been overstated to this point. While Ayton does have some fans in the organization, there are likewise questions about the former number one pick's ability to live up to $102 plus million dollars left on his contract over the next three seasons. I don't get any sense at this juncture, taking a harpism, Mark Stein is right there, that Ayton is Dallas's top trade target.
Yeah, my biggest takeaway from that is Stein's not completely shooting it down. That last sentence is, you know, top trade target at this juncture. There's
as a player.
There's different. Yeah, there's different players that, you know, one Stein is obviously plugged in, you know, really good with the Mavs. That reporting is coming from the Mavs. He's one admitting that there are some people in the Mavs organization who do like him and also saying he's not the top target, meaning he could be a target. And at this time, he's not the top target. So I think there's some dancing around that. There are connections. We've talked about the Ayton connections to Dallas that, yeah, I mean, I think it makes perfect sense there for what Stein is saying of like, hey, he's not option A. Okay. Yeah. But if they're struggling to find some things and there's something on the table, I will say the Pincus reported deal made me a little sick to my stomach.
Let's talk about that deal coming up. Is it a real deal? What do we think about it? Is that a fair deal for the Mavericks? Talk about that. Coming up. All right, Isaac, we're talking about this report from Eric Pincus and from Mark Stein about DeAndre Ayton to the Dallas Mavericks. Is there some kind of deal that's been talked about? So Mark Stein said that their trade interest in DeAndre Ayton has been overstated. So he's not their number one target, but he is a target. He does admit in here that he is not the top target, but he is one that the Mavericks have looked at. He's got some fans in the organization that see that, hey, we need a center. We need a guy that can at least, you know, moonlight protecting the rim can get some rebounds and all that and not be a complete stiff walking out and defending in space. The deal that, you know, that a NBA source told Eric Pincus, Tim Hardaway, JaVale, Josh Green, and 10 for DeAndre Ayton, that deal is no good. that deal, and the way that I take this is some guy was just like standing there throwing a deal together in his head, just saying, hey, what if they do this? But Dallas can't do that deal. Even if in a vacuum you think that value is fair for DeAndre Ayton, they can't do a deal like that.
That's what it's wild about, because like on paper, it's a fair deal. Like on paper, you're looking at it and saying, he's the former number one overall pick who is under contract for 3 more years, who is what that like Dallas wants more rebounding and a solidified center, and he's still young and like all this stuff. So on paper, you're like, all right, it's just so hard to gauge his value. I mean, I feel like I saw some tweet the other day about, you know, Phoenix talking to Portland, or they would be interested in like Ayton. I'm like, dude, there's no way Ayton's going to get you the third overall pick in the draft. But it's like, what is Ayton's value, right? I mean, I could see somebody saying the exact same stuff that I just said about DeAndre Ayton and being young and all of that stuff. But we've also just seen how the past few years have played out in Phoenix. And, you know, for Dallas's case, it's like, all right, so you would come to Dallas and be the third fiddle again, like you were to Booker and Durant, and you had, and I mean, yeah, we don't have Chris Paul, but so
he moves up one spot.
So here's my whole thing with DeAndre Ayton. I'm not all out. I'm not all in. I am open to the possibility, but it can't take two of your three best trade assets. And their three best trade assets right now are Josh Green, the 10th pick, not in any order here, the 10th pick, Josh Green, and your future first. We could throw Jaden Hardy in there as the fourth. But, like, I can't give up the 10th pick and Josh Green in that deal. So, if the 10th pick is off the table in that deal, I'm listening to it, and I'm listening pretty hard.
Even if the 10th pick is off the table, I don't know if I'm thinking about this, because you take DeAndre Ayton, we're winning the deal. Because if you're taking on DeAndre Ayton, this is why I've been out on him for a little bit now, is you can't have a $30 million center that doesn't play like a $30 million center. That's just such a position that can get played off the floor in a playoff series where wings are just way too valuable. You have to either have a Bam Adebayo, a Jokic, one of these just like uniquely talented centers in the NBA that can stay on the floor.
Rob Williams.
Even Joel Embiid. But like with Rob Williams, you're getting a skill set that is only getting paid like, what, $15, $10 million or something like that, $9 million or something like that, where you can bench him and it'll be fine.
This is why we're all in on Jared Allen. It's like, give me a center around that $20 million range.
That $10 million is just so key, because it could be one more player. You could bring in one more player in your rotation, and that could be the difference between you winning a playoff series or you making the playoffs. God forbid they miss it again. Or not, right? And so, and I think with Ayton too, there's just a lot of questions. And yeah, you could buy low on this and say, okay, well, maybe what if it only takes Tim and JaVale and Josh Green, like you said? Okay, you buy low on it, you bring in DeAndre Ayton, and then what if he's the same? Or what if he doesn't like Jason Kidd more than he didn't like Monty Williams, right? And he pouts even more, and it becomes a Ben Simmons situation. We've seen that happen in the NBA a couple times. Like, it doesn't always get...
I'm curious if they pulled off a trade like that, and it's like Tim, JaVale, Josh Green. That was the only three players, right?
And then the only ones mentioned. This is a fake trade from somebody outside the Mavs. So.
Does that increase the likelihood that they would take the 10th overall pick at that point and like select a player? Because then you would, because now Josh is out of it. And because then at that point, you're just swinging for, you're just adding as many wings as possible, right?
You have to, because you just lost two.
Yeah, because then you're looking at a starting lineup next year of Ayton, Reggie Bullock, Kyrie, and Luka, which is pretty good. You're just looking for that fifth starter,
Grant Williams.
Grant Williams. You're looking at the exceptions and stuff at that point. That's why I'm saying I'm not all out on it. I think I hear it, and I'm the $30 million for a center makes me sick to my stomach. But there's a part of me that's like, can we be that picky if we're the Mavs? Like, I get it. I would love a Jared Allen or somebody like that that's cheaper. But I'm afraid, like, you know, Dallas isn't Miami or L.A. Like, you can't be that picky. Would you rather have DeAndre Ayton at 30 or Dwight Powell at a minimum?
Dwight Powell at a minimum.
Oh, let's end the pod.
If we're talking about contracts, yeah, I'd much rather have Much rather have Dwight Powell at a minimum than DeAndre Ayton at $32 million next year. Yeah. And you're also, to get DeAndre Ayton, you're losing.
Yeah, if we're going to like compete in a spelling bee, but we're playing basketball.
But if I'm getting Dwight Powell at a minimum, that means I can add somebody else. Right? I'm not just stuck with just Dwight Powell. If in a vacuum, would you say, okay, would you rather have playing on your team?
Dwight's also been playing at $10 million, and they haven't been able to add pieces around him.
Yeah, he's been playing at $10 million. He's been playing at $10 million and starting, and that's not positive. That's not a positive.
All right, what was the other reports?
So, but then you're also losing two rotation players in Tim and Josh Green. That Josh Green just now started, you know, stepping into himself. Tim Hardaway is. I don't think he's a negative asset.
I'm fine with losing Tim. I think Jaden can step into the Tim role next year off the bench.
Okay, but
please stay here and defend Tim Hardaway on this pod.
No, I'm ready. but you're hemorrhaging depth more. Like, you can't just keep doing these deals over and over again where you're hemorrhaging depth. Yeah. If the Mavericks don't come up with any other wins, let's say that their offseason happens the same as this past offseason where you try a couple of different moves and both of them flame out for whatever reason, then all of a sudden it's Ayton, Luka, and Kyrie and like nothing else. And we're having the same conversation. We still
have Reggie and Maxie and Jaden Hardy. And
we said that this year with Luka and Kyrie, though. They got to have some wins.
I get it. But I also had everybody yelling at me all year about how we need rebounds in a big.
They do need those things.
I just think sometimes we can get stuck in the vacuum of like perfection on paper. This is exactly what we want. And it's like, it never works out that way for freaking Dallas. And it's like, yes, I don't want to pay a center $30 million, but there's, yeah, much worse options to me than a DeAndre Ayton at his age.
We talked about him. He would fix some things if he came in.
He's going to be the new Dragic. I feel like we're going to talk about him like three times a week until free agency.
He's the new Miles Turner. He's the new Aaron Gordon. He's the new like player that just keeps getting mentioned. John Collins. He's the new that.
God, John Collins.
I just don't think it would be a smart deal because of how much he makes. You have to give up stuff to get him and all that. Like
I hear you. I could change my mind tomorrow and eat all my words. But
well, change your mind right now. What points am I not making where you want to change your mind? some other reports. According to Mark Stein, the Mavericks want to have a thorough handle on their drafting options before they make a firm commitment to trading out of the first round. The expectation in rival offices when it comes to the Mavericks selection nonetheless continues to be they will try to package the 10th pick with Tim Hardaway or Davis Bertans or JaVale McGee in a trade to be consummated after Dallas makes the pick. I don't know why that word always makes me laugh.
Consummated?
They've consummated the drafting of the pick.
Here's what I don't want Dallas to do is use the pick to just get off money. Like, I can't go back to mid-2000s Mavs here. If you use the pick to turn the Bertans contract into a solid like starter or rotation piece, I can hear that. But if it's just a dump of like, hey, will you take
for a future second?
Yeah, Bertans' contract and give us 2 seconds and the 10th pick, that would make me sick to my stomach too.
We've gotten some comments on this because we've talked about a lot of fake trades on this pod over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And you've mentioned in the past, okay, what if they do this to dump salary? But in all your instances, you've said to dump salary to turn it into a good contract. You're dumping that contract
or like long
and bringing
term
somebody good in.
Yeah, yeah. Bring somebody good in and dumping long term money or like moving. And it's never like dumping the pick completely. It's a moving back. Like if it's about losing, like dumping long term money, you're talking about moving back to like OKC at 12. Like I would almost hear it out of saying, all right, We'll give you Bertans and JaVale McGee to move back 2 spots to OKC. I'd listen to that, but I'm not talking about giving up the pick completely just to dump long-term money. I'm not here for that.
Yeah, right. You have to do something with the asset. We've said this over and over again. Yes. You have to do something with the asset because they don't have as many of those assets in the future because they've traded some of them. So there you go. Let us know in the comment section what you think about the Kyrie Irving 4-year deal, the max deal. Do you think that they should give it to him? Are their backs against the wall? What do you think about the DeAndre Ayton deal? All that, guys. We appreciate each and every one of you. Again, subscribe to our subtext. Thanks so much, guys, for listening. We'll be back tomorrow talking about a draft profile. We haven't picked a player yet.
I nerded out over the weekend. You want me to pick one right now?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Anthony Black.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Talk about him tomorrow. Guys, thanks for listening to Locked On Mavs.
Peace out.
Boom.